Times unbelievable.
Okay, I stand corrected. Our fourth shiur on the Chazanish's Perek and Bitachon. We had left off last time with the Chazanish's, the whole little short story of Reuven. Let's just remember where we were, and then we're going to dive forward. Chazanish had begun to build this idea, this paradigm of Bitachon as Emunah in action. Bitachon as putting Emunah into practice and living one's belief. And we saw several different ways in which that plays out so far, and we're about to expand the picture some more. He had begun, after explaining that Bitachon is not this belief that I can somehow predict the future, but instead a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does manage events, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have a sense, has a clear plan for what's going to happen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding things in a particular way. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't see it. As he said, to live that emunah, for that emunah to play out in my life, he had said, number one is going to have to play out in terms of exercising self-control. And the more I'm really living my emunah, the more I'll be able to exercise self-control, despite in the face of ever greater appetite and in the face of even of less social support for doing the right thing. And he had said, sometimes if everyone understands that this is the wrong thing to do, it's easier. You don't need as much bitachon to walk the straight and narrow. It's the sort of thing that, it's so, a socially acceptable avera. That's where you need more bitachon to maintain self-control and to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire ahead of my short-term desire. And then in addition to self-control, it said, number two, how do I deal with not only with desire, but how do I deal with crisis? And how do I deal with fear of the future? So it said that nafkamina, number the aspect number two, was my emotional response and the sense of calm that sense of a clear-eyed response in the face of danger, in the face of uncertainty. It bitachon doesn't mean that I'm excited about all the different options that may be headed my way, but bitachon does mean that I'm not in a position of despair. I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show, and we'll see what he wants to happen. I'm able to look at things more clearly. My emotional response will be calmer. And aspect number three is Chazanish had said that practically how I respond is going to be shaped by bitachon. But if my responding is coming out of a place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots, but he wants me to partner with him in creating my destiny, so I need to do the right thing. But I'm not gonna. The sort of responses that I have are going to be very different. And he had begun to unpack that sort of from the avoiding the negatives. We had to should give us that picture of Reuven. Reuven was this man who, Chazanish sarcastically said, he's always singing about Bitachon as long as Bitachon is being nice to him, as long as life is good and everything. There are no bumps in the road, and. Business is going well, so he's everything's great. Everything's gewaltig, and he loves to talk about bitachon. All of a sudden, when he needs his bitachon fails him because it's not very, it's a mile wide but an inch deep. And all of a sudden, when there's competition, and someone wants to start a competing firm, a competing business, a competing store, and then he, the Chazanish had, as we saw last time, with great detail, with a great literary skill, and with acute sensitivity to human nature. Chazanish had sort of spread before us how a person might drop and drop and drop in the way that he responds negatively to competition. And he had said, and the Chazanish is about to talk about considering that story, considering that picture of the man who doesn't have real bitachon. So let's now, he had given us that story, now he's going to analyze it, but there was a question. Take it away.
First of all, I'm listening to the shiur remotely, so
ah, okay, great. So you have all these questions stored up. Why wasn't I getting your questions remotely the last couple of weeks?
I was going to say,
So the Chazanish said that bitachon is, or emunah and bitachon, let's say that emunah is the belief that Hashem is, that everything has. Hashem's plan.
Right.
But bitachon would be how, or Therefore, a person has to, the way the person demonstrates his bitachon is through his adherence to Torah mitzvahs. Okay?
That's one aspect of it, yeah, one demonstration.
One thing followed from the other. Why? Isn't it possible to have a person who believes the Emunah Shleimah that Hashem is running the entire show, good or bad or otherwise, but he's not so careful in dictating mitzvahs? How does the Chazon Ish prove that one...
How is that could be an expression of bitachon? Why do you have lots of bitachon?
But you have the opposite.
You get a person who you definitely have a person who's very careful about the minutiae of halacha, but not of a place, but not coming from a place of bitachon. That's certainly true. But the Chazon Ish is asserting is that if I have strong bitachon, then it's going one of the deep emuna in action is going to express itself in part in a greater care of halacha. Now you're right that if there's ignorance, I might have a deep connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I'm not aware of all the halachic details, so I'm not going to keep them, just out of a place of ignorance. But I will be, as my emuna grows and my emuna becomes more practical, I will be careful about halacha as I understand it. That's actually a point that I think that Ramchal makes a mistake. It's one of the meta points. Ramchal makes a mistake. Yisharim. He never says it. I can't point to a line where he says it, but the whole structure of the Sefer, first half of the Sefer speaks to it. Because I apologize for spoke once in the past, but one of the global points from sort of zooming out and looking at the table of contents of Mesillas Yesharim, because he builds the sefer around the step-by-step approach that the Pinchas Ben Yair describes in Avodah Zarah, that the step A leads to step B, first a person develops Zahiris and then Zerizis and Nikias and so on and so forth, they're climbing up this ladder. Ramchal writes that after you get to Nikias, you're done with what you're mechuyev to do. Ramchal writes, all the steps beyond the first three, the Zahiris, Zerizis, and Nikias, beyond that point is all the Fnim Ashuris Adin. All a Jew, that's to be a chassid. Chassid is one who's ambitious beyond what's expected. He said, to be a tzaddik, which means to do the right thing, all you need is three. Halavai, we keep his elchot to those three. It's a lifetime of work. The Ramchal says, then what's required of a Jew is Zahiris, Zerizis, Nikias. So Nikias is the last step. What's fascinating is that Nikias, the way the Ramchal understands it, is being careful about all the halachic details. Now, we might have thought that would be the first step. I want to be a good Jew. The first thing is, open up the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch and do everything you find there. So what's fascinating is that that's the last of the three steps. The first, the Zahiris, is developing a recognition of the value and the magnitude, the seriousness of living, and the recognizing the significance of what we can accomplish. What we might also call Yira, recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is meaning in this world, and it recognizes the role Kadosh Baruch Hu plays in our lives. And then the second step is Rizus, which is acting with enthusiasm, acting out of excitement, not just doing it because I ought to, but doing it because I'm pumped to, which we might refer to as Ava. So after I develop Yira and I develop Ava, then that's when I open up Shulchan Aruch and let me find all the little details, Pirtei Halacha, that I wasn't focus time, which at first again seems sort of backwards, but you realize that the Mesillas Yesharim is teaching us something important, which I think you're pointing out at play here also, which is I first need to develop who I am as a Jew, who I am as my religious persona. I need to develop who I am, and that'll be given whatever I understand halacha to be. Let's develop let's put the basic pieces in place. I'm going to develop myself as a Yareg, develop myself as an Orev, as a Zayar, as a Zaris. Then, once I've deepened myself as a religious person, working with whatever I understood halacha to be, so then, now that I have those pieces in place, now I'm ready to actually open up Shulchan Aruch and say, wow, look at all the details I didn't know. Now that I'm a Yareg and an Orev, now that I'm a Zayar and a Zaris, now I'm ready to say, wow, if that's what Shulchan Aruch demands of me, I better get to it. So, but you, and now obviously they're cycling. It's not that I wait until I'm 67.
Like, right. It's obviously first Yari and Oev before I have two mitzvahs.
No.
You first, said there's levels. So
I'm a Yari and Oev before I'm a Yari and Oev based on. It sounds like the way he describes it is, I'm a Jew. I know something about halacha. There are more details I don't know about, and I want to grow now. So I know a fair amount of halacha, but there's always more to learn. So it sounds like Mesillas Yesharim is saying. Instead of, but before you open up the Hilchos Shabbos Sefer and then learn another five dinim, first deepen oneself as an Eved Hashem. First develop more Yira, and develop more ava, and you'll put that into play given what you know about Hilchos Shabbos. Let me begin to the thousand Hilchos Shabbos I know. Let me begin to keep them out of a place of understanding the meaningfulness. Let me begin to keep them out of a place of enthusiasm. And then once I've developed myself in that way, now I'm primed to open up a Hilchos Shabbos sefer, and seeing those added dinim is gonna do something very different for me now that I'm already a yarei and an ohev. Obviously, I'm not dividing my life into thirds.
It's not sequential, you're saying.
It's going to cycle through, but that brings us back to what Barry was raising. If I'm a boteach, that doesn't automatically translate into knowing every single din shacharach. So you're right. I may be a very profound boteach, profoundly religious person, and there's still halachas that I don't know about. So I'm not going to keep them, despite the fact that I'm a great boteach, because I never knew. If I never knew that shatnas is forbidden, never. I missed that day in elementary school. I never heard about shatnas. So a person may be a profoundly religious person, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much a part of his life, but he's not careful about shatnas because he just had no idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects out of him. But whatever he does know about, he's going to embrace much more if he's coming from a place of emunah. What the Chazon Ish is describing is, I know it's wrong, but I want it. Whatever the appetite may be. It may be a carnal appetite. It may be an appetite for money. It's not that no one ever told me that it's not okay, that God expects me not to cheat. I know I shouldn't cheat. But, you know, there's pressure. There's social pressure. There's financial pressure. There's, you know, I'm seeing dollar signs. So that sort of situation. I know it's wrong, but I know I want it. And how do I resolve the stress between the tension between Ratzon Hashem and my own Ratzon? So those situations, that's where Bitachon kicks in. That's what the Gemara says in Sota. That every chet is coming out of a place of the element of idiocy, the element of silliness. Any chet, because again, not a chet out of ignorance, but a chet where a situation where I yield to a desire. So if I was really rational about it, if I really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it never makes sense to do the wrong thing. Logically, I really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the stakes are weights, they're like a twist on Pascal's wager. It never makes sense. It's not even a wager. It never makes sense. LMI, I believe, and yet I'm doing it there. How does that make sense? The answer is, I'm being silly. The answer is that desire is overcoming me, and desire is making me rationalize the irrational. But the deeper my emunah, the more I'm living my emunah in my kishka, not just I believe in my head, so the more I'll be able to overcome that. You're right. There'll be things I won't keep just because I don't know. That's a separate question. Jake, you have a question?
No.
Okay. So here we come to page of tests, section Daled. So Chazon Ish says, "Hagemul hamukuvalanu mehalos hadvarim al hasefer." What's the pay? What's the goal? What's my goal? I mean, given this whole story, if you want sheets, there are more sheets up front, I think. Are there more sheets
there's
up front?
Gimel's there and uh-huh. The other one's here.
Oh, fantastic.
Down there.
Okay. Sure. Okay. So what's the section Dalet page of test? What payoff? What am I trying to accomplish by giving this terrible story in section Gimel of Reuven who made out to be such a religious person, and once competition sets in, he decays, he degrades rapidly, moral degradation, becomes a person, first he sort of keeps it under wraps, and then he begins to, out in the open, do all sorts of underhanded maneuvers to try to kill the competition, and there's rechilas, and there's lashon hara, and there's lying, and there's sinna, and there's machlokas, and everything's building up. And then the Ramachad, the Chazon Ish had even thrown a line, the end of the section of Gimel, you know, sometimes this could even happen in a purely ostensibly religious spiritual context. Now, given be competition in religious realm. It's all supposed to be mitzvahs, and yet it could turn just as nasty and just as vile. So Chazon Ish says, why am I telling this story? My hope is ki ba'aloseinu ha'gnus al sefer. By laying this out black and white, bo'im advarim halo hatim. These burning words will come with tapchim apenino. They'll pop us on the face. We'll come to see a black guy. We'll see, wow. And we may get us thinking, you know, maybe that's me. Is there some element of my life where there's this bitachon mezuyof, fake, forged Bitachon. And that's what I think we left off with that line, and now he pivots on that phrase. Bitachon Mazuyah. This Reuven had presented himself during his financially successful years as being a man of great bitachon, but it was all a sham because when it actually mattered, when he needed bitachon to function, all of a sudden he was not being driven by what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do, which showed that to begin with, the bitachon was very shallow. And he said, let's talk about that for a moment. Bitachon Mazuyah. The Imam Nam Shalilas Habitachon Machzor Benefesh Hamaskalas said, "It's certainly true that for a Jew, that for any human being, to lack bitachon, that's a gap. That's a gap in a nefesh maskalas, a beautiful turn of phrase, a wise soul, sort of that blend that a person is trying to develop himself into of being a blend of nefesh and seichel." That certainly, if a person lacks bitachon, that's a significant lacuna. There's something definitely missing in my development as a thoughtful, deeply religious person. Kemacha ein lo chelik bikara yadus. A person without bitachon, or really without any bitachon, it's dangerously close to a lack of emuna. But still, achali marmize bitachon mezuyif. As bad as that is, as sad as it is for a person like bitachon, to have fake bitachon is even worse. Why? Behiyos haziyuf shlila muchlatas. To be fake from. He said, recognize, number one, if it's fake, it's no better than nothing at all. Haziyuf shlila muchlatas. To be fake really means that I don't have anything real. Ve'im la'zayfan mosra ha'mashulo. The one who's posing, the one who's pretending religiosity that isn't really there, he has nothing over the person who openly lacks it. And not only does he have no advantage, the harbei min hasha'aruria, the heres, the boteach hazayfani. There's a tremendous amount of destruction the spiritual destruction for himself and for others that can be brought about by someone who's has a pretense of bitachon, asher mashul nakim him, which someone who is at least honest about not having bitachon will be clear and clean of causing that sort of destruction. Ki ha mashulal mashulal na bitachon. Someone who doesn't have bitachon is lacking bitachon, certainly. Hazayfani, but someone who's faking it, meshul mi bitachon u'muchiv b'ziyif. He also lacks bitachon and is also guilty of fakery. Well, that seems tautological, but the Chaznish goes on to explain. Hameshul lo yamshich achar avchanichim lechancha mitarza bitachon. Someone who is at least honest, authentic, genuine with the fact that he doesn't have this religious piece to him, he's not going to have a talmidim in his supposedly religious approach. He's not fooling anyone. Hazayif and mam and talmidim, chanichi hazif, someone who has a pretense of frumkeit that isn't really there, so he's gonna keep mam shech eda. He could have a whole crew, a whole court that's following him, talmidim of his supposed approach. Hamashul lo yigram avon chil Hashem rachmanos lan. If a person is open about the fact that Nebuch, he does not have bitachon, he's not going to cause chil Hashem. If he's honest about not having bitachon, and as a result, he acts the way Reuven acted, there's no chil Hashem. He is who he is. Doesn't have bitachon. And as a result, his reaction to competition was what we would expect from a human being, natural result of a human being who has not been shaped by bitachon. But that doesn't reflect poorly on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The man doesn't pretend a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's Zayfon. Kasher mizgale klono, umizparseim alilosav hamusuavos, neged shimon reyehu, as things go from bad to worse, and everyone begins to recognize how underhanded, how illegitimate, how the lack of integrity that Reuven displays in the way he tries to undercut his new competitor Shimon. Omrim ploni shlom and Musar kama maguna ma'isav the kama mechu arim tachvosa. You see, this is what Musar is. That's a remarkable thing for a Jew to be supposedly, for ostensibly religious, and yet engage in behavior that everyone understands is very far from religiosity is worse in many ways than a person who's at least honest about no pretense. Of religiosity. It's a shocking idea, but he lays it out.
Is the person that the Zayfon or the Zayfani is being is being compared to, is he a totally a secular person, or is he a person who we call an Orthodox Jew, but he for whatever reason doesn't have
The Zeifen or the Meshulo?
No, the Meshulo.
The Meshul may be a person who keeps halacha more or less, but doesn't, makes no pre. Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because then isn't it a Chilul Hashem?
Right. It's certainly a greater Chilul Hashem if you have a Jew who purports to be a religious guru, a Jew who purports to be a great Rav and a great Talmud Chacham, and he turns out to be a person of no morals, a person of morals carnally, a person of no morals financially. So that's, I think, a greater Chilul Hashem than someone who doesn't purport to be a great tzaddik. He purports to be, rank and file, tries to be a good Jew, doesn't claim to be a particularly spiritual person. That's not good either, but the Chaznish isn't saying that being Meshul is good. Being Meshul, as he put it, is terrible. Person, and he may be, it's hard to know whether he's talking about a person who's more or less showing mitzvahs but doesn't believe much or doesn't, not keeping anything. But he says, as terrible as that is to be spiritually shallow, it's even worse to be spiritually shallow and pretend to be spiritually profound. Because you're gaining nothing, there's no advantage. It isn't true. I mean, he may have had a strategic advantage, but in truth, there's nothing better about being shallow and seeming profound than being shallow and being obvious about it. And it's, if anything, the only difference, the only delta is a negative one, because you're just going to make things worse in the end from a sort of in the spiritual accounting sheet. Now, on the topic of being who one is as opposed to faking, I think it's important to differentiate between this negative ziyuf, terribly, terribly, terribly negative, destructive ziyuf that the Chazon Ish is talking about, and a concept that may sound similar, which Ramchal talks about Maseilas Yesharim, and it's already famous as Chazal talk about it, but made famous probably first by the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is a Sefer HaMitzvah written by some Rishon or another, someone from the school of the Ramban. For a long time it was believed that it was the Ra'ah, the Talmud of the Ramban, a contemporary of the Rashba. It's now assumed by most not to be by the Ra'ah, but some Sephardi Rishon.
I guess it was his brother. I thought they said it was the Ra'ah that was his brother.
Was hard to know. Maybe he is a Levi. That much we know. So, and the Ra'ah was a Levi, but all men are mortals, and Aristotle is immortal doesn't mean that all men are Aristotle. So the Sefer HaChinuch was a Levi, and the Ra'ah was a Levi. It doesn't mean that the Ra'ah wrote the Sefer HaChinuch. But be that as it may, some great Rishon wrote the Sefer HaChinuch, some enormous, 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 towering Talmud Chacham, who was able to speak comfortably every single one of the Targum Mitzvahs, both in Halacha and in Hashkafa. And that's one of the uniquenesses of the Sefer HaChinuch, aside from the fact that he organizes the only major Mona HaMitzvahs to organize his Minyan HaMitzvahs to sequence it by the sequence of Chumash as opposed to some topical sequence or another, he is famous among as being the only one of the major Mona HaMitzvahs to focus not only on the Dinim but also on the Hashkafa. What are the moral, ethical, religious principles that underpin each mitzvah? How is each mitzvah, practically speaking, how is this mitzvah supposed to grow me as a person? What's the shorish mitzvah? Supposed to enhance some attitude, improve some attitude, supposed to improve some part of my personality, supposed to improve my awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each and every mitzvah, he'll talk about the dinim and about the roots of the mitzvah, the shorish mitzvah, some of the shorish mitzvah. And he says in Parshas Bo and elsewhere, but especially in Parshas Bo, that sometimes you wonder what's with all so many. Sometimes they have so many details. All those mitzvahs about Zeichet Yetzias Mitzrayim, so many details. Like, I said, enough already. Like, who needs so many? Like, well, one or two. Bechalal, why do you ever need practical mitzvahs to drive home ideas? And every once in a while, you're overwhelmed by the quantity. So there's a Sefer HaChinuch says there. It's because it comes from a piercing recognition of human nature, which makes perfect sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings would be the ultimate expert in human nature, not surprising at all. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood us better than we understand ourselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that in order for us to grow what we are inside, you can't just sit and think and philosophize. Philosophizing has its place, but philosophizing alone will not build a person in a permanent way. There needs to be repeated action. Repeated action will ultimately shape aspects of personality, that will ultimately shape character, that will shape who I am. Achriya, the language is, or the formation is often used, is Achriya Pu'ulos Nimshachan Alvaos. The heart will be drawn, what's going on inside of me will be drawn by, I'll be shaped by my actions. By the sum total of repeated action of a certain type. If I'm doing a lot of mitzvahs, I'm awash in activities that all drive forward all these positive messages. Over time, I'm going to grow into that. The Ramchal raises this issue in Mesilas Yesharim and talking about Zerizos. So how do I become a Zeriz? I'd love to be enthusiastic about mitzvahs. That'd be great. I'm bought in. Ramchal, you're bought in. I hear the idea. I get why it's important. Sign me up. But how? I would love to be enthusiastic about this. I would love to do this with energy. I know it's important. I try my hardest to do what I'm supposed to do because I ought to. I wish I did it out of excitement. I'd love to be in love with the Kaddish Baruch. I'd love to be enraptured. I'd love to be ecstatic. I'd love to be enthusiastic. I'd love to be the guy who's running to shul. But I'm not. I do the right thing. I know I'm supposed to. I believe in the Kaddish Baruch. And it's what I'm supposed to do. I do it. But I'm just not enthusiastic. I'm not pumped. I wish I was. But I'm not. So what do I do? Rabbi, help me. Shlomo Chal says, one of the tools in your toolkit is that idea of Sefer Chinuch. The Achrei HaPu'ulos Mishachan Alvaos. That you're going to... You wish you were the guy running to shul, but you're not. So run. Even if you wish you're the guy who felt like running. I don't feel like running. It's okay. You don't have to feel like running. Just run. Just act excited. If you act excited, again and again, not once, not twice, but again and again and again, over time, you'll feel it. Over time, you'll become excited. Now, at first glance, I've had Talmud in the past that said, oh, so the Sefer Chinuch Ramchal is saying, fake it till you make it. Now, but that's a dangerous formulation. Because you may wonder, so is faking, are we pro-faking or anti-faking? Are we pro-posing or anti-faking? That's like, I'm not really as Zariz, but I'm going to, I'll pretend. I'll go through the motions. Usually you think going through motions is not a good thing. And that's, Chaznish is very, very clearly vehement about that. Going through the fakery is despicable. But then you have the Sefer HaChinuch and the Ramchal saying, yeah, fake it till you make it. So which one is it? What's the answer? What is that?
I think it's very simple. Well, not very simple. I'm saying that the answer is the difference between doing a physical action and what I believe. To fake what I believe and to give it to someone else is a bad thing. Right? As Chazan is saying, I'm going to have to meet him, blah, blah, blah. But here, when I'm sitting down, for me, in other words, I know that, I'm not going to get for davening on time, and so I got to get up early and get excited about that. Do it on my own time. I don't have to do it in front of me. He doesn't say go in front of everyone else and make a, clock. By the way, you should know. Give me a look.
So one important point is, right, are you doing it for show, are you doing it for yourself? And that's the point that the Chaznish is about to raise in the next section, is real bitachon is going to be allied with sneus. Good. And what else? What are the other key differences? Were you going to say so? Between the...
I'm not sure if this is... The example that you just gave, the person isn't making any pretense. Maybe it's the same thing that Elkanah said. Right? You said, well, I'm not... the person's up front. I'm not excited about it. And it's, everybody who sees him running says, wow, you're so great because you run. I wish I could run. If he's honest, he'll say to the person... He's not faking it. He'll say, you know what? I'm not really like those people who really want to run to shul either, but I was my rabbi recommended that I run because then I'll start to feel it. So you might want to try it with me also.
Okay, so that's not whether he's being honest. And part of the honesty also, ironically, there's another twist, which is he does truly want it. He wishes, a guy saying, that prescription is the guy who says, I wish I was a Zariz. I wish I had Zarizis, but I don't. So if you want it, you wish you felt the way inside, act that way, and then eventually it'll grow within as well. Whereas the faker has no interest in being real inside. He just wants to show. He's going to be showing. And there's no plan of, like, I wish I was... He's not saying, I wish I was a boteach, but I'm not feeling yet. No, he's just it's all external. If it's all external, that's ziyuf. That's fake. What's real is I wish I was a Zaris. I wish I was that type of guy. But I'm not. But that's what I dream of. I dream of being that type of guy. Oh, that's what you dream of? So then you want to get there? Then start acting like you, acting as though you, act as though you feel it, and in time, you'll start feeling what you wish you felt.
But you have the same potential control of Hashem, unless you actually ask him, like Seth said, unless you actually ask him, are you real or fake? But most people don't say that.
Right, so that probably comes with Seth and Elchanan were saying, is that if you're, if there's honesty within, if I really want to be that type of guy, and that's what's driving this, as opposed to just trying to convince other people, so A, I'm not going to try to show it off to other people, and B, if people ask, right, I'm going to be, there'll be an authenticity in how I explain myself, right? I'm not trying to show it to other people, so I'm not going to, there isn't that same concern. And I will be actually growing. Over time, I am going to grow. If I'm the guy who knows, I wish I just jumped out of bed. I don't. So I figure out a way to just like force myself to jump out. I'll pretend I'm feeling excited. And over time, it's going to build. Over time, it's going to become, what's going on inside is going to fill in. Whereas this iPhone is not on track to improving.
Yeah, but the guy who's not a total iPhone, people see it, he comes to shul, he's not really too excited about it, he's there anyway. And he, you know, and he has a night theater, and he has this, and he has that, but he still has conflicts within him that could end up causing him to hate Shimon or whatever it is. He has the same potential for causing the Chilul Hashem.
Not necessarily.
Why?
Because the one thing that, as Chazanish points out, is that if you're the Zayfen, what you're going to do is you're going to surround yourself with people, and you're going to, in other words, you're going to encourage an entourage. You want your posse to follow you. Right, that's the case of Reuven. He has his posse. He's got everybody looking at him, oohing and aahing. The guy who's the guy who's jumping, who wants to become enthusiastic, is not. In other words, he's doing it, but he's not doing it in a public manner per se. In other words, he's not looking and saying, "Oh, I'm going to be the guy that does this and that." He's doing these things on his own. So there's less concern. There may be some concern, but it's less concern that when I'm doing. In other words, when I'm jumping out of bed in my room, I'm assuming there's not that many people there to watch, right? As opposed to the guy in shul who's shuckling away, who has the zeifen and bitachon.
And you're saying even if I'm running to shul, and people do see me running to shul, but I'm not looking.
Right.
I'm not like I was looking over my shoulder to see is everyone
right,
watching.
I'm not looking there, you know, taking selfies with me as I'm running. You know, it's not like I'm doing right. that.
If anything, to the extent, I would say to the extent, fundamentally also, to the extent that, you know, this is coming out of a place of thought, and I come out of a place of bikush. Like I wish I was a better person than I am. So that's rooted in a matrix of humility. To want to be better, to want to improve myself spiritually, that's really, to the extent that there's anything real about that, that bespeaks a certain humility.
There's less of a chance of causing the
goal. Right.
But if it happens, then he's taking a risk. Trying to
there is still is a cost. There still is a cost. It's mitigated, but it's not. It's not. It's reduced, but it's not eliminated. Right. That's true.
Risk it for the risk.
A lot of rhyming going on.
I didn't get the. We're talking now with somebody. It sounds like we're talking to somebody who's kind of cynically faking.
Right.
But I got the impression about Reuven that he. I had to stop a second. Make sure there's nobody in Reuven. Reuven in the story.
Are we Reuvenless in the room?
That Reuven in the story.
You know who's going to listen to the recording in the next couple of days.
That he wasn't doing this to trick people so much as he was. He thought, he really believed that he is wonderful with Bitachon, and he was very, very proud of it. But he was off the mark. He didn't know what Bitachon was exactly. He didn't know how it really expresses itself. He doesn't know that it tested in difficult circumstances and not in favorable circumstances.
I think you're giving Reuven too much credit. You have a cousin named Reuven or something? No, I think you're giving him too much credit. At the end of the day, the way it was described is that here's a guy who's really all, as the Chazanish said, it was Alpiv, that it was literally just from his mouth on the outside, and that he was just mouthing it as opposed to really feeling it.
Interesting.
Isn't that how he was described?
He had even said that he's the guy who's always telling everyone else.
Right, he's the one going around, spreading it around, you know, rah, 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 as opposed to feeling it inside. I mean, I thought that you had pointed that out last week.
about. Yeah. About at the same time, Seth is making an important point. It need not be this like self-aware, cynical, this like strategic Machiavellian. He's trying to put himself out there. He may just be a shallow, not doesn't intend badly, but just very shallow and empty. And he has this sort of like vapid sense of what religiosity is, and by his light, he's just like, he talks bitachon, talks Hashem, but there isn't really anything to it. Right? It may not be like proactively negative, but just it's a shallow. It's a shallow shell, right? But again, as opposed to the Sefer Chinuch and the Ramchal's picture of someone who's a growing person, who actually does have the spiritual content, he's aspirational. He wants to be something. He's just not. I recognize I'm not there yet. There's a lot of self awareness there, and there's a lot of positive emotion there. And then within that context of I've been doing again, and I'm thinking more about what Barry is saying. Maybe it's worth recognizing that the Ramchal does not mention this idea in step one. He doesn't talk about this in terms of the hearers. He talks only in terms of his reasons. I never thought about why. Maybe it's exactly for that reason, because this is something. This is an advanced tool. He wouldn't start this right away. Once a person is already a zahir and he's already there's. A spiritually minded person, and now he's trying to take it to the next level. Now he's saying, you know what? You can, once there's raised spirit, there's a spiritual substance within you, there's a depth. So then you're ready to try this. Maybe it's not for beginners. That's an intermediate level technique. Yeah. You seem very troubled. I'm not sure about that, because I think that the Chazon Ish is the first major concept he had put forward was that bitachon is not about I can predict the future, but it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. But then he had moved on towards the end of the first section of this parak to say that that's really emuna, and bitachon is emuna in action. Bitachon is living my emuna. True, and he kept saying that. Emunah is halacha and bitachon is maase. Emunah is a theoretical belief about the world, and bitachon is living according to that applied emunah. The truth is, it is. You're right. It starts within. It starts within. But bitachon means is living my life and making decisions, reacting to things. My emotional reactions, my behavioral reactions are ones that are shaped and guided by my emunah, and they express my emunah. So it is. You're right. It's not the same thing as his reasons, but there is a certain overall. It's not right. I'm not just saying that the chinuch and the chazanish Torah are the exact same type of thing, but they are touching that same. The chazanish is making a larger point. No one bitachon is about putting what's internal into action externally, but also the point is his attack on fakeness. Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they're the exact same case, but the issue that the Chazon Ish was raising, once he's raising that, it's worth considering why doesn't that play itself out elsewhere? This notion of fakeness. But you're right. There is, I'm not asserting that Acharei Pulsim Shachar Vavus is in play here. Correct. And maybe it could be. Maybe it could be.
Yeah,
there could be. Let's say keeping Shavuos, for example. There could be mitzvahs. That it could be if I keep Shvius, I'll develop a deeper emunah. If I act in a way that bespeaks the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is, I recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately wanted to decide my destiny, not me. I need to work, I need to go to work, but Lamasa, ultimately my salary is a function of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then, that could lead me, that can make it easier for me to keep Shemitah. But also, it could be that keeping Shemitah will reinforce, behaviorally, will reinforce that sense within me. That's not what he's talking about, but it does happen to be true. It could play itself out in Bitachon also, but I agree. He's not really, the Chazir isn't focused on Achapuz HaMashal HaMavis, but this question of fakeness is an important one. I think we're going to have to stop here because Meir is about to start. Bli Neder next week, we will hopefully the conversation will continue. And we'll see the next week also coming attractions. He's going to talk about another. He's also going to start talking positively. Up until it's all been, you know, look at this man. Look at the behavior, his negative behavior. This person at Bitachon. So it's the next time he's going to go on the shift to the positive. Let's talk about how a boteach would act. We'll talk about appropriate and inappropriate shtadlus. Those are some of the things that are out to come.
Just talk about where the line stops.